we're at the Nebraska Farmers Union annual convention, and as you get, it's been going on, as you continue, what's kind of the, what are you hearing from your members as top of mind right now as we end the year?
Well, really, the the financial crunch is just coming in, and a lot of the different kinds of conversations, and from folks talking about their own situation, but also family, neighbors, friends, and folks in all different kind of stages. Some of the beginning farmers are obviously getting pushed the hardest because they have the most amount of debt and they have the least amount of equity to offset it. And so we've had a couple conversations about folks that are working on transition. And so the transition all of a sudden becomes very difficult when the expected cash flows that were going to be there to support it are gone. And so then, it becomes difficult for both the folks trying to take over where it's not working and the folks who are trying to transition. And so it's very difficult to transition ag generally, but it's much worse when you have high land values, low commodity prices, and cash flows that don't work.
So what are some ways then to make that easier to transition given the uncertainty of the financial outlook right now?
Well, we're going to have tomorrow morning a one-hour workshop with the folks that we work with the Farm Crisis Hotline, where we do these workshops around the state every year on transition and estate planning. And so then, it's depending on where you're at in the process, you maybe rethink cash flows. You come up with ways to take things smaller bites at a time. You look for ways to try to make sure that, you do the good job of kind of the business principle of sitting down and really thinking through everything that could possibly go wrong in advance and try to anticipate them. Instead of betting on the come, you do more worst-case scenario planning. And that would be kind of my short list of things that, that we look at and that I think that probably will get covered in the workshop.
So how do you have the conversations with young farmers to say, try to keep working through this to get in a position so that way you keep younger, that next generation in agriculture and farming?
Yeah, and it's, we've been struggling for a long time. I worked before Governor Bob Kerry came in on this issue, and that was one of the things that we worked with him on when he came in. And, of course, he was coming in the 80s, in 82. So it was a difficult time. So a lot of the beginning farmer things that we have now are the outgrowth of the things that that working group put together with Governor Kerry's guidance. And Director Rob Ron, who was the director of ag at the time, really kind of provided the leadership. But we were trying to look at things that you could do at the state level. And so we have one of the better beginning farmer programs in the country, not saying that if we had our druthers, it could be better, but it's better than what a lot of folks have. And so what we're really trying to avoid is depending on how long the low commodity prices go on, a generational hit where you really do lose a whole crop of beginning farmers. And those are the guys that we really need to be taking over and need to be assuming more and more active roles in the communities and all of those things. And so it's not just a tough blow for that farm, it's a really tough blow for that school, for that community.
Is the program that you referenced a state of Nebraska program or a farmers union program?
It's a state of Nebraska program. And so we've gone through different iterations of it in order to try to make it better. We just went through one where we raised the limits for eligibility so that you could, given today's land prices, you hit that cap a lot sooner. And so we're trying to make it more realistic based on today's prices. And, you know, we're looking at historically high ag input costs and historically high ag land values.
Do you remember the, do you know the name of that program?
It's the Beginning Farmer Program.
Okay. The thing, you know, we in the past have talked about the crisis hotline, mental health, but I want to touch on today rural access to health care. What are your members seeing when it comes to health care in rural communities? I know the One Big Beautiful Bill had implications on rural health care as well. So as we go into 2026, how do you evaluate what that landscape looks like?
It's a tougher landscape. You know, my organization, you know, has been in this issue for a long time, for years and years. And I, you know, because of the my tenure and tour of duty here, I have some institutional memory. And as we provide services to folks that are in crisis, for many, many years, the number one reason for a farm bankruptcy was a medical condition that went south and went bad that was not covered by an insurance policy. And that was because we had all the exclusions in policies. And so the body part that you needed to insure the most was not able to be insured at all. And so we've made a lot of progress, and what we don't want to do is go backwards. And so some of the stuff that we've seen already coming out of the budget reconciliation bill, we're seeing private policies that do not that have exclusions in them, which is not helpful. We're seeing, as you get rid of the subsidies in there, ag disproportionately has more of those independent policies than their city cousins. And so we're in a cash flow crunch already. So we're already getting phone calls to the office. I've gotten two just recently from folks that say, you know, I paid $500 a month last time, and the same policy going forward will be $1,500 a month, and my deductible is going to go up to $7,500. And they said, you know, that just, you know, doesn't work. What are we going to do? Those kinds of phone calls have been trickling in through the whole process, and so there's no question that you know, we can make improvements in what we're doing now, but we have yet to see the kind of overhaul that produces positive outcomes. And so you're not only undermining individual health care viability, but we're also putting hospitals at risk. Now, we're going to lose health care facilities unless something is done, because the additional monies that hospitals have gotten in the budget reconciliation bill is not equal to the amount of losses that have been incurred. So you can't take $100 out of somebody's pocket and put $60 back in and think that they got ahead. They're still 40 short. And so whatever the numbers are, they're short for rural hospitals. And we're already closed a lot of good rural medical facilities. And so, you know, you whatever your health insurance policy says, if you cut off a finger, and I've done that, no matter what the, you know, farmers were the second most dangerous profession. And so as you think about all the things that can happen in terms of both, you know, a lot of stress, heart attacks, strokes, if your closest facility is a long ways away, then, you know, that really undermines the viability of a workable and responsive and a healthy healthcare system.
John, those are my questions this morning. Anything else that you want to add?
Well, we're telling folks to we're stay involved, stay engaged. We're in this for the long haul, and that, you know, now is really an important time to not check out, but to check in and stay involved, be engaged, work with the, you know, your neighbors. There is power in organization, and you need to be helping support organizations that are supporting you. and that ag is our voice needs to be heard in this process. And it is a mistake to sit back and assume that somebody somewhere is going to do your work for you.